Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the DiaSorin First Quarter 2009 Results Conference Call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Carlo Rosa, CEO of DiaSorin. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Quarter 1 conference call results as usual, and we'll give a brief comment to the quarter results. And then Andrea is going to go into details of the presentation, and then we'll take your questions. First, as a general comment, I would say that the Quarter 1 has been very strong, showing an improvement, a growth in revenues of 26%. I would like to comment this growth and cautious about and be cautious about this growth. First, we need to understand that there are some extraordinary events that have affected this growth. First is the exchange rate. Revaluation of the U.S. dollars, as you know, we have a significant portion, almost 30% of the turnover in the U.S. Revaluation, a strong revaluation of the U.S. dollar in quarter one has affected the growth by almost 4 percentage points. So at constant exchange rate, growth would have been 22%. Second, you need to understand that the perimeter of the business, because of the Biotrin acquisitions, has changed so that you cannot compare quarter one last year to quarter one 2009. And the effect of Biotrin in quarter one this year represents close to 5 percentage points difference of growth. So at constant exchange rate and constant perimeter, growth would have been 17.5% compared to last year, which is still very high compared to the market growth. And from what I understand, some of our, from the growth that most of our competitors have achieved in quarter one this year. Now, what has been fueling the growth? The growth has been fueled by two elements. The first one is the continuous increase of the install base of the Liaison. Also, in quarter one this year, we have installed 130 Liaisons worldwide, and it's very clear that we are reaping the benefit of the installation of the over 400 systems that was done in 2008. By the same token, Liaison vitamin D, especially in the U.S., continues to be formidable. There is an improvement in the U.S. and in all major markets on the usage of vitamin D. And there is further penetration in the clinical and in this testing because of the clinical the understanding by the physician of the clinical use of this diagnostic test. So both these elements with different weight on different geographies have contributed with this to this strong growth. Now, when it comes to margins, what we have experienced is that again a revaluation of the dollar on one side, as well as the continuous shift of our turnover from ELISA and RIA technology to Liaison has significantly improved the margins in quarter one. Again, this is an effect of dollar and mix. Our gross margin, therefore, is improved by 36.4% down to the EBIT margin, which is improved to 55.6% compared to quarter one last year. Finally, when it comes to net earnings, we had an increase of almost 30% of net earnings vis-a-vis last year. Andrea is going to touch on this. There is a negative impact, which is an accounting effect, so it's not really reflected on the way the company operates. But there is a negative impact due to the fact that we have a debt in dollars. This impact is around 2.3 million in quarter one. In terms of, I would say, the state of the business, very healthy in all the geographies. U.S. with an impressive growth of almost 73%, which would go down if we take in account exchange rate and the Biden acquisition to 50%, still very significant. Europe has been growing double digits with some countries like France driving the growth, and other geographies like China and Israel, where we continue expansion. These are seed countries where we have initiated operating a few years ago, and now we are reaping benefit of our geographical expansion policy. All this said, I will leave now Andrea with the presentation, and then we're going to take your questions.
Thank you, Carlo. Good afternoon or good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Carlo has already mentioned what are the key highlights of the quarter. I will ask you then to move to slide number 2 and to start commenting the fundamental items of the profit and loss for the first quarter of 2009. I think that Carlo has already touched on the development of revenues. The growth as reported by 26% with an effect of exchange rate which this quarter has been favorable and has contributed to the growth by 3.8 percentage points. Moving down the P&L, you will notice how our gross profit has improved and grows more than proportionally by 36.4% from 36 million to almost 50 million in the quarter one of this year. Moving up also in terms of margins, the margin has moved up from 64.6% of turnover to 69.9, so 5.5 percentage points. If we then look at the development of operating expenses have moved up by some 20% versus previous year, from 20.7 million up to 25. Bear in mind that within this increase, we have to take into consideration that the consolidation area of the company has changed. We are now consolidating Biotrin as a group, which accounts for more than 1 million of this improvement. We have changed and expanded into new subsidiaries as a consequence of our geographical expansion strategy. And there is also an exchange rate effect as it comes to the operational expenses that are borne by the group in the United States. So despite all these effects, the ratio to the turnover of operational expenses has decreased by 1.5 percentage points. The combined effect of all the margin improvement reflects on EBIT, which is growing by 55% versus previous year, and EBITDA, which is growing by almost 50% versus previous year. I will then comment more in detail on all the components that have been driving up our margins. But let me just make a final comment on the net result, which, as compared to the previous year, has moved from 10 to more than 13 million euros, with an increase which is close to 30%. If we then move to the next slide, where we analyze the revenue breakdown by technology, as usual, Liaison, so the clear technology, has been the driving force of the growth of the company. Liaison sales have grown by 35% quarter versus quarter, but at the same time, you will notice that ELISA sales have also been growing, On the back, basically, of the inclusion of the BioTrim products, which are on Elijah platform. As a consequence of the shift, you will now see a portfolio of products which, where chemiluminescence accounts for more than 60%, whereas last year it was just about 55%. ELISA is fairly stable around the 22 or just above 22% at the expense of RIA and the sales of instrumentation. Now, in particular, this last bit, instruments have gone down from more than 11% of the portfolio last year to 8.5%, contributing to the improvement of the margin of the company. If we now move to revenues by geography rather than by technology, you will notice that the growth of 26% is widely spread across the areas. As it comes to Europe and one of the largest markets for DSO in Italy, Italy has been growing by 6%. You will remember that last year Italy was growing above a double digit. In the course of the first quarter of 2009, we have experienced a very slow start, which has then been partially recovered in the second part of the quarter. So we foresee to see an increase in the rate of growth of the Italian market in the coming part of the year. As it comes to the rest of Europe, so excluding Italy, we have a solid double-digit growth around 10%, with some markets which are growing more than proportionally to the average. In particular, I would mention France, Nordic, and Belgium, so all of which you see a very significant growth rate. As it comes to North America, Carl has already commented, 73% growth versus previous year, with a strong contribution from the exchange rate. At comparable FX, it would be more than 50%, however, with a BioTrim contribution around 9% versus the previous year. And strong sales growth in the rest of the world, both in the in terms of direct operations like Mexico and Brazil, where the growth has been, in one case, more than double the previous year, and the second one close to 50% of comparable exchange rate, but also thanks to the contribution of some of the remaining indirect areas, or areas which we serve in through our distributors, and I would mention particularly Australia and China and the Far East. Now, moving to slide number 5 and talking about the development of our margin, we have already seen the growth of our gross profit, EBITDA and EBIT, and the improvement of gross margins. I would go into some more details about the drivers of this improvement. But first of all, we continue to experience what has been a now long-term structural driver of the margin improvement, which is the improved technology mix. So chemiluminescence, in a nutshell, taking over more and more weight versus previous versus other less profitable technologies, in particular ELISA instruments and RIA. Within, however, the chemiluminescence portfolio itself, there continues to be a shift versus premium-priced specialties, and in particular, vitamin D tests. And this further improves the margin improvement itself. Now, we continue to experience an operating leverage on the install base as our revenue per box continue to go up. And we continue to, we have experienced for the last two quarters a positive effect coming from the exchange rate. Last but not least, as you will see in the financial report of quarter one, in this quarter we have experienced strong economies of scale in our manufacturing plants. In all three, I would say, manufacturing plants in Italy, in the U.S., and in Germany. And this is due to a very strong production volume, which has helped us to reconstitute the stocks of some strategic byproducts that we manufacture ourselves. So these are the factors which are contributing to the margin improvement, to the gross margin improvement. As you move down and you think about the operating leverage of operational expenses and the Biotrin contribution, you come to the all the factors that have improved our performance at EBIT and EBITDA level. Now, one last comment on the net result. The close to 30% improvement is clearly less than proportional to the growth of the operating margin, and this is due basically to the effect or the impact of the net financial cost for 3.6 million euros, of which, however, 2.8 are of a non-cash nature, but a pure accounting nature, and are linked to the mark-to-market evaluation of the debit stock that we carry in dollars. US dollar on our balance sheet. This, as you know, and as we have explained several times in the previous quarter, will not have a cash impact simply because we hedge our cash inflows with the necessary cash outflows to pay out the debt. As we move then to the balance sheet, if you look at slide number 6, I would only mention a significant increase or improvement in our net financial position, which has moved down or moved up positively from the close to 20 million debt at the end of 2008 to 12 million debt at the end of the quarter one. And this is entirely driven by the strong performance at the operational level of our cash flow. If you look at slide number 7, operating cash flow for the quarter has been 18.1 million before expenditure on capital items of 8.48, which compared to previous year on the basis of 8.2 million in Q1 08 before capex of 2.7. The strong increase in the capital expenditure is related to more capitalization on more placement of instruments under reagent rental, and the expenditure linked to the acquisition of the distribution rights for the Czech Republic. last but not least, as a consequence of the cash flow, our cash position at the end of the quarter amounted to 25.2 million euros at cash and in cash and banks. Last but not least, the forthcoming events where we will meet the financial community will be next week on the 19th the 20th, when we will meet in London for the Pan-European Bank of America so Merrill Lynch met the conference, and the following week we will travel to New York where we will attend the European Mid-Cap Forum of Medibank. That's all for me. I would now leave the floor to a Q&A session. Thank you very much.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Mr. Fitzhugh Peters of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for taking our call. First question, I've got just a handful. First question, you all managed to place 130 units in the first quarter. Is there any reason to think that the liaison placements have been front-loaded this year? Do you still anticipate, I think before you had said 400 units for the full year, is that still your general guidance for the unit placement?
Do you want to ask all questions, or do you
have the other one? Okay, I'll ask all three. Second question, the liaison Excel, just wondering if that's still on track. I think on the last call you mentioned that you were going to have customers to see it this month in May with a soft launch in the fourth quarter. And then I was wondering if there were any changes to the upcoming menu for the liaison. Thank you.
Okay. Listen, question number one, no, there is no strong loading that we foresee. We always said that on average we would place 100 systems, and when we say on average, it means that it can go from 90 to 130. So we continue to foresee that we will end up with 400 systems, maybe over a little bit over 400, but not significantly by year end. The second question has to do with Excel. Indeed, in a couple of weeks, we have a very large event hosted in our headquarters. We will have 1,000 customers traveling from around the world, half of which, less than half, are Italian, and the rest are coming throughout the world, U.S., China, Brazil, from everywhere. And we will be showing the Liaison XL to all these customers. So it's on track, and we expect the initial launch, the soft launch, end of the year. Last question in terms of the Liaison menu, there have been, as projected, there have been no release of new products in quarter one. As you know, what we expect to do, the next assays that we expect to deliver will be the parvovirus, so conversion of the Biotrim products from ELISA technology to Liaison, and that is going to happen in quarter three, so right after the summer. And then the bulk of the new products, namely HIV and HCV, will come along with the Liaison XL launch later on this year, beginning of next year, really depending on registration time with the CE mark.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from Mr. Matthew Butin of Catapult. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, and thanks for taking my question, and thank you for producing some great results. In your guidance change from 10% to 15%, maybe can you on the revenue for the outlook for the year, can you talk a bit about how much of that is currency related and how much of it is organic, and if there's a geographic change in your outlook? I presume U.S. is doing a bit better than you thought, but any other particular geographic areas? And then I have a couple more questions after this.
Okay, can you ask all three questions so we understand who is going to take the different questions between me and
you? Sure. And then as it relates to the guidance, can you maybe give some comments on the pacing as the year progresses in terms of, you know, just relative proportions of growth in what parts of the year, which quarter sequentially or first half, second half, you know, and then if you could also talk a bit about the vitamin D, the size of the vitamin D market and your thoughts on the competitive position of where you stand relative to mass spec and how you see that market evolving.
Okay, listen, I will take the first one and the last one, and then Andrea may comment on the second one. In terms of the guidance on 15%, we look at this as an overall growth of the company, so we expect on the average we should grow by year end of 15%. Clearly, we cannot predict where the dollar will go. I wish I could. So from what we see in quarter one, we think 15% overall is reasonable. And we will see Q2, and then we will, I think we understand together the opportunity there. When it comes to vitamin D, I think the question is where do you see it? We have decided that, as you know, we are not going necessarily to comment on the market, because I believe that today we are market leaders. There is lots of know-how in this company about this very precious asset, lots of understanding of this market on our side, and I think I'm getting to a point where knowledge of this market is becoming for us an asset, and I really don't want to make any public statement about vitamin D. Just one comment though on LC mass spec. I believe that the real competitor today is not necessarily any immunoassay company out there. I believe is LC mass spec, to a point that if you take the U.S. market as a reference, I think that we own around 60% of the market, 55-60, and the rest is LC mass spec. I think that now if you look into the fit of LC mass spec in the market and the way the market shapes up, when it, again, talking about the U.S. now, and then I'm coming to Europe, When it comes to the U.S., we pretty much split between our technology and LC-MS spec, the big labs. Now, so Quest is on LC-MS spec and LabCorp is with the DiaSorin product. I think that the decision there is between FDA approved assays with all of the safety consequences of the decision versus a homebrew test difficult to standardize that you put on the market, and this is what Quest did. I'm not commenting on that on that decision. I think these large organizations are making their own bets in terms of one or the other. When it comes to the rest of the market, it's very clear today that for a mid-sized hospital, it's very difficult to justify an LC-MS spec, not necessarily from an investment point of view, which although requires some capital, but from a training point of view, because these LC-MS specs were really done, invented for research purposes. Really complicated, and you need trained technicians to run it, and you know that one of the big issues in the U.S. hospitals is availability of skilled people these days. And I believe that there is a trend that we are experiencing where vitamin D, that is a send-out for a lot of hospitals today, they're really thinking because of volumes to take it in-house. And when you take that decision, I think it is much easier to use the Liaison product rather than embarking yourself into a project where you need to take a research, pretty much create a research and a research group managing the mass spec. When it comes to Europe, it's a totally different ballgame. LC mass spec is used in very few geographies. I think England is one. And a few Nordic countries, but is not taking at all any market in all the other geographies where a large availability of immunoassay and lack of tradition of, again, research and development technology like mass spec make it very difficult for that technology to dent into the market. Last but not least, Australia, which is a very large market when it comes to vitamin D. We own over 80% of the market, is all on Liaison's own or long-term contracts, so I don't see the mass spec playing there. I hope I answered your question.
Okay, if I can take your your question about the quarterly guidance, I'm afraid I'm going to have a very short answer, because by our policy, we do not give short-term guidance. So I'm not in a position to give you an indication of how the more than 15% growth rate that we have communicated for the full year is going to split in the four quarters. I would simply point your attention to the fact that in the second half of 2008, the U.S. dollar, which accounts for a significant proportion of our sales, which is now close to 30%, has inverted its trend and has started reevaluating against the euro. So the exchange rate effect that you have seen now in the quarter one should dilute as we move farther into the year.
Thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Stefan Sumar of Exane BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. This is Stefan Sumar from Exane in Paris. I've got some questions. So the first one is, could you please tell us more about vitamin D contribution to sales in Q1 and also its contribution to growth, of course. My second question is about the very strong profitability we have seen in Q1 at the operating level, 34%. Considering the fact that activity is more or less well spread during the year, could we extrapolate this very good figure over the full year? I've got another question which is also related to vitamin D. Could you update us about what is happening with Medicare and payment for vitamin D? I know that we had seen some questions on this specific point. Some people are obviously were asking for a reduced application of the reimbursement for vitamin D. And my last question is about instrument sales. Just could you explain us the 6% drop in instrument, and do this also apply to your business done with Cardinal? Thank you.
I will take the questions on vitamin D, and then Andrea is going to take the other questions. Now, let me start with the vitamin D. As I said before, there are lots of things that are not available to share at this stage with the market on vitamin D in terms of what it did, the contribution to growth. As we have seen before, vitamin D is contributing to half of our growth, and the rest comes from all the other lines and strategies that we have put together. When it comes to the overall percentage of sales vis-a-vis the group, I think that vitamin D is 25%, probably 25% of overall sales. When it comes to Medicare, is a very factual situation, so there is no interpretation by the group. By the way, Mr. Sumar, I profoundly disagree with what you put on your note. And no, because it's funny, you really continue to hammer us, notwithstanding the results we have, and I don't understand what you're doing. But all said and done, what I disagree about is the fact that you said that it is a group interpretation. There is nothing to interpret about this. As long as you get into a public government, U.S. government website, you can get the whole story, which I will summarize for you. In the United States, there are regional medical groups, and it is fairly common for this regional medical group to review the reimbursement system there, the way they look at usage of diagnostic products in the regions. And it was very clear that because of the surge of vitamin D starting from, I would say, last summer, one of these regional groups that comprises some of the states on the East Coast and some of the states in the Central Coast has sent out a proposal, which is public, to reduce the clinical areas by which Medicare would have reimbursed the product. And let me make it clear. Today, there are different medical codes that allow vitamin D to be used for lots of diseases related to bone and mineral metabolism, and then there is a generic code that allows for vitamin D testing for insufficiency. A question was put out to the medical community of whether there was a need to further discriminate the clinical status by which the government was going to reimburse vitamin D. And there was a proposal which was circulated, and as it is required by law in the U.S., it was given 60 days to everybody to respond to this proposal. Well, what happens is that it got pretty much Medicare was flooded by all the medical associations, the American Medical Association, the American Endocrinology Association, the American Cardiology Association, completely refusing their approach and saying that vitamin D actual testing not only should not be restricted but should be expanded, because the medical evidence is so high in terms of its benefits of the benefit of testing vitamin D, that the government should help doesn't rather than restrict. Again, it is required by the U.S. law. 60 days after that the process was concluded, Medicare issued a final ruling and a guideline, pretty much leaving the things as they are today. saying that in fact it is allowed to test vitamin D for vitamin D deficiency, as well as stating that not only vitamin D can be tested, but also the 125 vitamin D, which is a hormone that is generated after vitamin D is processed in the liver. 125 vitamin D is going to be clearly reimbursed. So not only they did not change, but they also clarified the situation with the 125 hydroxy vitamin D. Let me also remind you that when it comes to reimbursement level, the reimbursement was actually raised, so from $41 to $42. So there's been an adjustment in the reimbursement rate. I hope this fulfills your curiosity, and I strongly advise you to get on the government site and get the whole story, which is public, as it always happens in the United States. So please, if you could revise your draft, this is not a group interpretation, is what the government decided in the United States. And now I'm going to leave Andrea for the last question.
Okay. Stefan, as far as the extrapolation of margin, I think that during my presentation I cautioned the audience to extrapolate some factors of margin improvement, which not necessarily will repeat in the future. In particular, the exchange rate effect I have already commented before, and the positive contribution coming from higher than average production volume may not necessarily replicate in the future as well. The structural factors, as we have always said and guided, will continue according to our belief. All in all, this will reflect in the guidance that we have provided in terms of margin, which says that all the margin will grow more than proportionally to the sales, which is as far in terms of guidance as we are prepared to go. Now, there was a fourth question on Cardinal which I didn't get. Could you repeat it, please?
No, I was wondering, so when we look at your instrument sales, it's done 6%, so well, it's not something important, but just to check, part of the sales you are doing with instrument, you sold instrument to Cardinal in the US, and I would like to know if we can also apply the consider that you have a decline in sales of instrument to Cardinal.
The sales to Cardinal are in line with what we expect. The difference, which is I think very healthy difference, is that we are placing more system direct than through Cardinal in the U.S. As you know, we have given an indication that we would have expected Cardinal to do 50 systems by year end. And they are in line in quarter one with that number. The difference is that, again, we place more systems direct in the U.S. market than through Cardinal.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from Mr. Martin Wales of UBS. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi. We've had a lot of talk about, vitamin D in instruments and biotriners driving the growth in the quarter. Some kind of what's happening with the rest of the portfolio, because obviously the implication of perhaps could be that if these things are doing so well, other things are perhaps doing less well, and how satisfied are you with the performance of the rest of the business, and maybe if you can give us some commentary on that.
Martin, do you have any other question? Or
hello, can you hear me?
Yeah. No, listen, is this your only question or you have more?
I may have more, but I'd kind of like to hear the answer to this one first, if that's okay, Carlo.
Yes, thanks. I'll comment on that. It is clear that the growth that we got is related not only to the success of vitamin D, but to the continuous expansion of the rest of the of sales as well. When it comes to, I think I would divide this in three buckets. When it comes to the infectious disease, specialty infectious disease products, the growth is strong. continues to be strong in all geographies, including the U.S., where, as you know, we just initiated our marketing activities with those. When it comes to some of the more me too infectious disease products, the growth is there, not as much in the past, but for a reason in this quarter. The reason is that Italy, which is one of our major markets for the routine infectious disease testing, had a slowdown in quarter one. As you have seen, growth has been 6% compared to double-digit growth in 2008. And this has to do with budget approval and a situation that will not continue throughout the year. So we will see that base of liaisons with infectious disease growing more, I think, in the following quarters. When it comes to the endocrinology specialty products that usually go along with vitamin D, the growth is strong. Again, driven by the success of the vitamin D. Last relevant bucket, because then we have others, but the last relevant bucket, which is tumor markers and thyroid, which is really something that we inherited from Big Golden and more me too products where we don't have much specialties. The growth is double-digit growth, which is good and driven by expansions in territories outside Europe. So pretty much is Russia. It's China that is driving this, and Iran, where we almost approach 90 liaison system plays all on thyroid and oncology. Okay. So again, as a general comment, yes, there is a continuous growth in the whole liaison line, ex vitamin D.
Okay, and I guess my other question then is, if we look at the uses of the machines that are the liaisons that are being placed in the U.S., can you give us a sense of how much of it really is just being used for vitamin D and the extent to which it's being used and for other products in the portfolio? And secondly, to what extent do you think those labs will be takers of a chemiluminescence-based biotin product for parvovirus? I guess what I'm trying to do is get a sense of what leverage there is in the model in terms of pushing more of the non-vitamin D products through the instruments that you have out there already.
You're talking about U.S. or worldwide?
I'm talking about U.S. in particular.
Listen, I think as we just commented during the last conference call, the U.S. liaison install base, as you can imagine, is pretty much all vitamin D driven, and because we just initiated the infectious disease, so the percentage-wise, the amount of products that are placed on the install base of infectious disease is really small compared to vitamin D. By the same token, these vitamin D units out there in the U.S. are pretty much filled up with running very, very high volumes. And so I don't think that install base, specifically the one sitting in the larger commercial labs, can be used by infectious disease. Different story is the install base, which is sitting in the hospital base, where the usage is less, and there is an opportunity to fill up with the infectious disease, which is clearly something that we are starting to do. These are the so-called low-hanging fruits. When it comes to this. One more comment, though, is that the strong relationship we have with some very large accounts in the U.S. vis-a-vis vitamin D is clearly creating the opportunity to put additional systems on infectious disease. We have a series of very large evaluations ongoing in the U.S., which we hope we will conclude by the end of quarter two, the beginning of quarter three, which will carry significant volume of infectious disease products in the large commercial labs.
Okay, so basically there's lots of leverage potential both from relationships and from machines as you roll
out. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I very honestly, difficult to use the installed base in the big labs is already pretty much saturated with vitamin D. Vitamin D is a key is a clear door opener when it comes to the relationship and credibility that Diosorin built in the market in terms of its ability to serve very large commercial labs. As we have discussed, clearly the Liaison was not intended to be a system to serve very high throughput accounts. And initially there was some concern from the large accounts in terms of our ability to support them. Vitamin D and our continuous fulfillment of their request has identified Diosorin as one of their strategic partners, opening up opportunities with all other products.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Thank you very much, and well done on the quarter.
Thanks a lot, Martin.
The next question is from Mr. John Wood of Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks. Good morning. This is Brandon Colliard actually in for John this morning. Could you give us an update on the U.S. install base of Liaisons, or how many placements in the quarter were attributable to the U.S. versus international countries?
Sorry, Brandon. We do not provide that kind of detail. I consider that as a very strategic information. I don't want. I really don't want to give any head up to competition. So that detail, I don't want to provide. But let me just make a comment. The rate in quarter one that you see the percentage of the U.S. Placement vis-à-vis the overall placements is not significantly different from what we have seen historically. So if your question is, did you really put 80% of those results in the U.S., the answer is no.
Okay, fair enough. And could you give us a sense, if you could quantify the tailwind that FX, the foreign exchange, provided to either gross margins or operating margins in the period from a dollar basis?
Okay, if we think about the dollar base, I can give you a scant indication. Now, in the gross, at gross margin level, the FX effect, if you consider the two major currencies, has contributed for about 30 basis points in the improvement. Okay, whereas much more significant is the improvement at operating margin, so EBIT and EBITDA, when it goes up to 50-60 basis points.
Okay, thanks. And on the M&A environment, do you see any opportunities to add additional menu content in 2009, particularly given your stronger cash balance?
Well, you know, you put us in a difficult situation. So let me give you a generic common sense answer. It's very clear that, and you've seen it from a dividend policy, that we intend to put our cash at work for the business. It is very clear to me also, as for the Biotrain acquisition, that there are opportunities which are either small companies or pieces of very large conglomerate that have been created in the last couple of years. And throughout the consolidation process of this conglomerate, there are overlapping companies that they acquired, and they would be, available to dispose of. And we continuously look into opportunities to put our cash at work for the shareholders.
Great. Thanks so much.
The next question is from Mr. Mike Chu, the Civic Global. Please go ahead, sir.
My questions have been answered. Thank you.
We have a follow-up question from Mr. Stefan Sumar of Exane BNP Paribas. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, it's Stefan again. Just a follow-up question regarding the organic growth, the growth of 15% you mentioned, of at least 15% top-line growth you mentioned. Do we have to understand that it is at constant Forex and excluding change in perimeter, or is it in reported growth? Thank you.
You have to understand what is described in the press release, which is based on the current ratios of the U.S. dollar to the euro.
Okay, so it's at constant Forex.
Is there any other question?
Yes, sir. Excuse me. The next question is from Mr. David Robinson of Dalton. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to get a sense of the extent to which the very rapid growth in vitamin D testing in the U.S. is being replicated elsewhere, say in Europe, Australia. Would you anticipate that the U.S. Is leading the way, and that sort of penetration should increase in other markets in Europe?
Again, I'm sorry. In terms of, I don't know if I'm available to answer to the question precisely, but let me give you a generic answer to this that I hope will help your understanding of this market. In terms of penetration, I think that the U.S. is one of the countries where the penetration is still relatively small. And penetration measured as number of tests per total population. So there are other countries in Europe, outside Europe, in for example Australia, where the penetration is much, much higher than the U.S. Okay. There are also other countries, and Italy is an example, where the penetration is less than the U.S. And this has to do a lot with two things. One is education of the physicians, and the other one is availability of supplementation. Don't forget that vitamin D testing works as long as the physician can easily supplement patients. In Italy, for example, which is the second largest market in Europe after Germany, if you go to a pharmacy, you cannot get those very nice 1,000 unit pills that you can get in Target in the United States. And we are working in that sense in providing availability of supplementation in order to help our marketing campaign in different countries. Okay? So is the U.S. leading the pack? I don't think so. I think this is pretty, in terms of usage, I think the U.S. is growing nicely and can grow, and can still grow. Is the U.S. leading the pack when it comes to science? Absolutely. Most of the good scientific work around vitamin D is done, but as usual, when it comes to science in biology, it's coming from U.S. institutions.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from Mr. Mike Chu of Civic Global. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, I had two questions. One is, I apologize if I misheard, but the 15% growth for your calendar 09 revenue growth, that's reported basis, or did I hear it was a constant currency basis? And then just back to the equipment revenue, the reason it was down again, I know you said it was because you were placing more directly and not through Cardinal. Was there any change to ASPs in outside the United States? And when you sell through Cardinal, they buy it from you, I assume, and do they place it with the end customer or do they sell it to the end customer? Thank you.
Okay, Mike, it's Andrea. As to your first question, you are correct. This is on a reported basis. I never spoke about constant exchange rate. The only reference to exchange rate I mentioned is that projection and guidance is based on the assumption that the rate or the parity between the euro and the U.S. dollar will remain as current. As it comes to the higher rate of CapEx and the more capitalization, I don't think, as Carlos explained before, I don't think this has anything to do adversely with Cardinal. Cardinal is we continue selling instruments to Cardinal at the pace foreseen in the plan that we have with Cardinal. I believe that Cardinal has a business model by which they tend to sell their instrumentation to their customer, and they're also providing them financing. But I cannot guarantee that this applies to 100% of Cardinal's placements.
Okay, so just so I'm clear, the reason the equipment revenue was down in spite of placements being up is you are placing more directly in the U.S. on a reagent rental basis. Is that the right way to look at it?
The reason why the instrument sales are slightly down versus previous year is the fact that we have sold less instruments to our third-party distributors than quarter one 2008, but this has nothing to do with Guardian. It has more to do with other markets, one in particular, which is Russia, that, as you know, is one of the countries which are most hit by the financial crisis at the moment, which is suffering in their capability to expand for capital.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Martin Wales of UBS. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi. I'd just like to come back to the instrument question and the top-line guidance question again, because if you've placed 130 instruments and more of those have been placed with consumables contracts rather than sold, the assumption would be that that's going to bring you a lot of revenues, not just in 2009 but beyond. Secondly, you just clarified this guidance issue again. It says, I think the press release said greater than 15% rather than 15%. It'd be great if you could clarify that issue for me as well. Yeah.
Okay.
Project revenue growth of more than 15% for the current year. So.
I hope that the press statement was very clear, but I'll try again. We are foreseeing that this business or our business will grow more than 15%.
Yeah, thank you.
On the basis of the current level of the exchange rate between the euro and the dollar.
The exchange rate that is clear. I just want to make sure that it is more than 15%, because some of your comments suggest that it is just 15%.
No, this is what we said and we released. We anticipate a growth which is above 15%, 15%.
Okay. And coming
in
back
terms of your second question, no, I don't think that the amount of recurring sales is independent from the fact that we either sell our instruments or we place them under reagent rentals. Remember, these are closed systems, so whether you buy it or you are simply borrowing the instruments, if I can put it in this way, the amount of recurring revenues is generated the same with a similar way.
But you have more certainty, surely, if they're borrowing the instrument, because you're only lending it to them on the basis that you will get a minimum level of revenues per machine, surely.
Sorry, if your question is there is a higher proportion of direct placements, so not through distributors, then you're right. But
I'm talking about the certainty of future revenues from the consumable side. To use your analogy, if you have lent somebody a machine, if they have borrowed it from you, you are only prepared to lend it to them if they are committed to a certain buying a certain level of consumables.
That is correct.
You have greater certainty of future revenues.
That is, yes. If you put it in the term of certainty, then you're correct.
Thank you.
Mr. Rosa, gentlemen, there are no more questions at this time.
Thanks a lot, operator. Take care.
Thank you, everybody.